Well, it is Thanksgiving, obviously. It is time for us to give thanks. And Thanksgiving is a day of smells and sights and wonderful, wonderful sounds. It is also an ancient, for Americans, probably our oldest holiday that we celebrate. So many things for us to remember with Thanksgiving. But being such an old, old holiday, there are so many memories of that first Thanksgiving, which for us today, they don't have sound attached to them. Because so often that is the past. This is a screenshot from a very famous movie. It was shot in San Francisco in 1906. Someone put a movie camera on the front of a streetcar, and they just went down Market Street to the transfer. It's a beautiful movie. If you've never watched it, go on YouTube, find it. And scholars now think it was taken a week or two before the earthquake hit. So it's the last scene of San Francisco. A wonderful, wonderful scene, but there's no sound to it. So much of our past, even a group of women singing loudly, is silent to us because we have lost the sound. In many ways, the past, until the invention of sound, photography, sound movies, is a silent history. And when we come to the Old Testament, we come to the Bible, so much of the Bible is silent to us. We know the stories of the Bible. We even know that the Bible is filled with songs, such as the book of Psalms. We don't know the tunes, though. We know the words, but the melodies have long since been forgotten to us and to history. And so tonight, I would just like to talk about what does Thanksgiving sound like? And to me especially, as I started working on this sermon, what did the sounds of biblical Thanksgiving sound like? When the ancient people of Israel, when our early Christian forefathers and foremothers, when they gave thanks, what did it sound like? Now again, we know the sounds of our Thanksgiving, right? We know the sounds of the turkeys. We know the sounds we will hear all day tomorrow. We have lots of sounds when it comes to Thanksgiving. But what was Thanksgiving sound in the past? And I'd like to start with one of the lessons we had today, the words of Psalm 100. It's a special psalm to me. It always has been because when I was a little boy, I grew up in Minneapolis, which back then is where the headquarters of the old American Lutheran Church was. And we had a thing called choir school when I was in grade school. You'd go to church on Saturday, and you'd have classes, and you'd sing, because we had a children's choir. A little group of us were selected to sing a rendition of Psalm 100 at a gathering of adults for the National Church. And to this day, I still remember a bit of that song. Psalm 100 calls us to make a joyful noise to the Lord, because Thanksgiving is about noises that are filled with joy. And as I said, the Psalms, the book of Psalms, the word psalm in Greek simply is the Greek word for the word song. The book of Psalms is filled with 150 different songs. We know that the melody titles of some of them, there are some like we have Green Sleeves and other traditional melodies. They had one called Lilies, one called The Deer of the Dawn, one the tune's name was Dove of the Far Off Terebinth, which is a tree. We know those kind of things. We even know sometimes who was singing them and how they were done. But we don't have the music anymore. The sounds are silent. But we do know how the people of Israel gave thanks in music. And for that, we have Psalm 150, the last psalm in the book of Psalms, which tells the instruments and the ways in which the people of Israel gave thanks and praise to the God, to their God. Psalm 150 declares that the people of Israel are to praise him with trumpet sound, with the loud blast of the trumpet that would call the people of Israel to God and to give him praise. In fact, when archaeologists were digging in Jerusalem, they came across this stone that once stood at the top of the temple. It was destroyed by the Romans in 70 AD. But the Hebrew inscription says, "To the place of the trumpeting." Because that stone inscription probably told the trumpeters at the temple, here's where you stand when you blast out the trumpet call and call God's people to worship. Psalm 150 says we are to praise God with the lute and the harp. If trumpets aren't your thing, maybe something a little quieter. Okay? a lute or a harp. David, we are told, was a harpist who wrote many beautiful songs that he used to give praise to God. Psalm 150 says that we are to praise God with the tambourine and with dance. Tambourines and dance are an ancient form of worship. In fact, one of the earliest mentions in the entire Bible where the people of Israel give praise to God, at the Red Sea after God had drowned the Egyptians, we are told that the prophetess Miriam, the sister of Aaron, she took a tambourine in her hand and all the women went out with her with a tambourine and with dancing, and they sang to the Lord for his triumphant victory over the Egyptians. There's even a story of King David when the Ark of the Covenant was recovered. He led the procession up the hill to Jerusalem's mountaintop, dancing all the way. And I have to admit that one of my favorite things as a pastor is while the rest of us are sitting here singing in our wonderful Lutheran fashion, watching children, usually in the back, dancing away. I just love to see children in worship who are so free, who are so open, who love to dance. One of my favorite memories of our daughter Samantha, when she was about 18 months old, we were doing a construction project at our own old church, and so we had to worship in the equivalent of the fellowship hall. And it was on Maundy Thursday, and it was this deep, dark, silent, solemn service, and we were singing, "Go to Dark Gethsemane." And here is Samantha at 18 months old, in the center aisle, dancing to "Go to Dark Gethsemane." I just love it when God's people are so free, they can give thanks to him and dance as well. Psalm 150 says, praise him with clanging cymbals. Praise him with loud, clashing cymbals. It might not be for everyone, but the Lord loves the cymbals. And then Psalm 150 says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. You see, thanksgiving is in part when we use the breath God has given us to sing and to play and to dance to our God, because thanksgiving should be something that frees us, something that opens us up, something that makes us whole, that unites us with our God. Psalm 100 tells us even other ways in which we give thanks and praise to God. It says to us that we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. If you ever have seen a flock of sheep, you know something. They are not quiet. Sheep are noisy. If you've seen the movie Babe, you know how noisy the sheep can be. God's people are to make noise when they give thanks and praise to him. We praise God with our feet. The psalm says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. Even the sounds of our footsteps can be sounds of thanksgiving. The footsteps of God's people coming to worship him. The time it takes, the noise it takes as we walk around to share the passing of the peace. Now, we have a lot of our Thursday night worshipers here tonight. And if you've never come to Thursday night worship, you need to know something about it. On Thursday night, when we share the peace, we don't just... Everybody goes and shakes hands with everybody. It takes about 3 minutes and 20 seconds, which is much too long. But it is wonderful. God's feet giving thanks and praise, being part of the throng of God's people. One of the favorite images I will ever have in my life of praising God with our feet was last February in Nicaragua, when we were painting this school, and Julia and Heidi and our daughter Samantha spent hours playing duck, duck, goose with the kids, running and running and the sound of feet and giggling, and that was truly Thanksgiving. We give thanks to God in our prayers. Prayer, and I would say even silent prayer, is the sound of thanksgiving. Through our history, just two magazine covers that show in times how God's people give thanks through prayer. Our lesson tonight from 1 Timothy chapter 2 calls us to give God prayer, noise of prayer, with requests, with prayers, with intercessions, with thanksgiving. When we sing the beautiful words of Holden Evening Prayer, we sing the words of Psalm 141, let our prayers rise up like incense before you. Just yesterday, we had our cluster meeting. There were only about seven or eight of us, and we were at Emmanuel Lutheran in Cedarburg. And we went into the choir room, And we sang Holden evening prayer in the morning, which is, I don't know about it, but we did it. And it was gorgeous. The beautiful sound of God's people giving thanks. Our prayers are important. It might be the traditional, come Lord Jesus, be our guest that so many of us use. On Thanksgiving, we would always use a special prayer. And Hannah, when she was little, I'm talking about my daughters a lot tonight, but I'm thankful for my daughters. Hannah would get upset because whatever prayer we had to say, we still had to say, come Lord Jesus. Because it's not a prayer if you don't pray that. And we mean more than prayers like this. Give you a second. All right. That's not what we mean with prayer. It is truly giving our hearts and our minds the sound of our prayer, giving thanks to God. I have a copy of this print in my office, thanks to Jim Scott and Bud Snyder. It's President Lincoln kneeling in prayer. In his hat is a copy of the Gettysburg Address, which he delivered 155 years ago on Monday. Our national day of Thanksgiving on this day is because of President Lincoln's proclamation in 1863, where President Lincoln, in the depths of the Civil War, at the same month he gave the Gettysburg Address, he called upon the people of the United States to come together in a day of thanksgiving, to call upon God, blessing him, thanking him for his blessings, repenting of our national sins, and commending into God's care those who were widows and orphans because of the war. That is most certainly the sound of thanksgiving. And when do we give God thanks? Well, 1 Thessalonians reminds us that we do it without ceasing. We are called to pray and give thanks to God, not just one day of the year, but all the time. We are to live as people who give thanksgiving. And we are to do so even during the difficult time. These wonderful words from Philippians, where Paul calls upon us to give praise to God at all times, to thank God in all times. And you have to remember, when Paul wrote those amazing words, he's sitting in a Roman prison, not knowing if he's going to live or die. He gave God praise at all times. Last weekend, I went to see, where are you, Lori? Went to see Lori Ziegler. She was up in the hospital. Lori had to be taken to Aurora last weekend. Like the Easter Christmas story, there was no room in the hospital for her. So she got an ambulance ride up to Sheboygan, because that's where they had a hospital bed for her. And she, as I was visiting, she told me the story of, as she's in the ambulance riding up to Sheboygan, and it's not, she wasn't doing this because it was a free ride. But the EMT said to her, why are you smiling? And Lori's response was, well, what other option do I have? Now think about that. What other option do we have but to give God praise and glory and thanks for the fact that we are breathing and can give him praise and glory and thanks? Because think about this, what Jesus says about. What is the sound of worry like? What is the sound of anxiety like? Very often there is no sound, or they're not very nice sounds. God, Jesus reminds us in the Sermon on the Mount about the birds of the air. What do birds in the air sound like? Well, we have the huge flights of Canadian geese going over. They make a little noise, don't they? We can hear them from thousands of feet away. When we were in Germany on my first sabbatical, at one place we stayed, there were flocks of starlings all over the place making enormous noise. When Jesus says about the birds of the air, he's not just saying God cares for birds, but he's reminding us the birds give praise to God with the voices that they have as well. Jesus calls us to, instead of worrying, to remember the lilies of the field. Now, lilies do not make any noise, of which I am aware. But when the wind blows over a field, it makes a beautiful, wonderful sound, a quiet, soothing sound. That, too, can be the sound of thanksgiving. Those quiet, soothing sounds, those noises we give to God. Jesus reminds us that whatever we need, our Heavenly Father knows those things. And he says, don't worry about them. Don't wear yourself out fretting over the things I will take care of for you, says our God. Instead, you need to give me the right sounds. So what does Thanksgiving sound like? Well, I think in a large extent, it is the sound of trust. Sounds that come out of us to show that we trust our Lord. We're going to see some of them tonight. You are going to come forward and you are going to bring your offering. And you are going to put your offering in a plate, and it will make some noise, even if you're just putting an e-giving slip in there. Okay? I love our noisy offerings. I think our noisy offerings are fantastic, because the sound of our offerings means we trust God enough to dare to give away some of what we have for the service of the Lord. The sound of an offering says that we trust God enough that we don't have to hoard everything for ourselves, but we can be generous and thanksgiving. That is a wonderful sound of thanks. The food you're going to bring up, it will make noise with the bags and the cans and the boxes as you set them down. And please do not set them down quietly when you come up. Let's make some noise. Because the gifts of our food which we donate shows that we give thanks to the Lord by sharing some of what we have with others. We give thanks to God by serving others in God's name. That is wonderful. One of the wonderful sounds of thanksgiving is the welcome we give to one another. Those words that lift us up, Brian and Heidi, I'm going to remember Bennett's words in that children's sermon for the rest of my life. That was, I figured we could just cancel church right then. We're done right after that. But those sounds of welcome, or sounds like this, I'm sorry, I love you, forgive me, thank you. Little things like that are also the sounds of thanksgiving. You see, we can go through life like this, and there's not a lot of sound when you are on the edge of a high dive thinking, I can't do this. Do people ever make noise when they jump off? You bet they do. What is the sound of a roller coaster coming down? It is a lot of wonderful sound. We are called to make those joyous sounds. Those of us who are old enough to remember Alfred E. Newman, okay, Mad Magazine, what me worry? Jesus says, don't worry. God's got this. Give thanks. He says, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to have worries of its own, and you can't do anything about tomorrow today anyway, can you? So live for today and what today has as well. Because as Psalm 23 reminds us, that our good shepherd is with us, and his rod and his staff, they do comfort us. So we should give thanks. The last thing Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew's gospel is, I am with you always, to the end of time, to the close of ages. That should give cause for thanks. So what does thanksgiving sound like? A lot of different things. But above all, may our lives be lives that make a joyful noise to the Lord for all he has done for us. And may we make that joyful noise in everything, with everything, through everything, saying to our God, may I honor and praise you and give you thanks every day of my life. So may we all have a very blessed and happy Thanksgiving, and may we truly take the time to share the sounds, the thoughts, the feelings of giving thanks to our Lord. Amen.